Iron Ass. Lee Raymond lived and worked within a bubble of privilege. He traveled the world with round-the-clock support from the corporation's aviation services and global security departments. If his day began at his 8,642-square-foot, five-bedroom brick-facade home in Dallas, then his longtime chauffeur and bodyguard, a retired New York City police officer, would meet him there and usher him into a dark sedan. Raymond rarely drove himself anywhere. Nor did the indignities of commercial airline travel encroach on him. Citing kidnapping and other security threats, the corporation's board of directors had decided that its chief executive should not fly on commercial carriers. Raymond had use of Exxon's corporate planes for both personal and professional travel. Aviation services managed about 9 jets. Around the turn of the decade, the inventory included several Gulfstream aircraft, a Bombardier Challenger, and 2 Bombardier Global Express jets. Lee Raymond's principal plane, a 10-passenger G4 and later an 11-passenger Global Express, each with sleeping and mess facilities, satellite telephones, a defibrillator, and CPR-trained flight attendants, bore a tail number expressive of his position, N-100A, or as it was referred to by corporate aviation personnel, November 100 Alpha. The crews catered to Raymond's onboard tastes, a glass of milk with popcorn in it, within arm's reach of his executive chair. Aviation services, approximately 2 dozen pilots and several dozen additional support staff, also tended to his wife, Charlene, who often traveled with the chairman, and who favored bowls of wrapped chocolates. "When you take care of her, you take care of me," Raymond told them. Lee and Charlene Babbitt Raymond were inseparable. By the late 1990s, the couple had developed a typical annual migration, a late January trip to Pebble Beach, California, where Lee sometimes played in the Pro-Am golf tournament with the likes of PGA professional Ronnie Black, an April sojourn to Augusta, Georgia to attend the Masters golf tournament, where Lee might catch up with his friend Phil Mickelson or have dinner with Tom Watson, and then Easter at their winter home in Palm City, Florida. Golf was Raymond's most discernible passion away from the office. He regularly joined in corporate tournaments. When Raymond had business in Asia, he and Charlene sometimes managed to fit in a vacation break in Hawaii on the way out or the way back. In the autumn, he often spent Thanksgiving at the Augusta Golf Club again, and might include a stag trip to Exxon's vast corporate-owned bird-hunting ranch in southeastern Texas, near the town of Alice. At Christmas, the Raymonds typically retreated again to Palm City, Florida. Throughout the year, they made weeks-long international trips on which the Exxon chief might negotiate for or ratify the final terms of new oil production contracts, attend a ribbon-cutting at a new refinery, deliver a speech at an industry conference, or chair a board meeting. On a trip to London in 1997, the couple picked up an expensive painting. Panicked aviation and global security employees, fearing theft, guarded the artwork for nearly 2 weeks aboard November 100 Alpha as the Raymonds hopped on Exxon business from city to city. As their wealth grew, they collected not only art, but real estate. They added a $3.8 million house in the desert near Palm Springs, California, and a $7 million home in Scottsdale, Arizona. Raymond and Charlene had both grown up in modest circumstances in the American heartland. Both were devout Christians. Raymond's plains-bred parents had raised him as a member of the Evangelical United Brethren in Watertown, South Dakota, a denomination that later became part of the United Methodist Church. Charlene came of age in a German Catholic family from Kohler, Wisconsin. They met at the University of Wisconsin and married when Raymond was 23. Raymond converted to Catholicism, and thereafter rarely missed a mass. In Saudi Arabia, which banned Christian churches, he attended services inside the U.S. Embassy. Although Charlene had earned a college degree in journalism, when she gave birth to triplet boys, she devoted herself to them and to her husband. Even at home, Raymond worried about discipline. After he rose within Exxon, he tried to control his family's use of corporate jets. He barred his triplet sons from flying on them, fearing that if he allowed them the privilege, it would encourage lax behavior by other Exxon executives. Charlene could be as demanding as her husband, and she could also be extremely frugal, as if clinging to lessons imparted during the depression-influenced era of her youth. Deplaning in Berlin or Paris, she might fill a bag with snacks while complaining about the prices charged for breakfast in the luxury hotels where she and her husband stayed. Aviation services staff talked among themselves about which ExxonMobil executives with jet privileges were the most arrogant or prone to temper over petty problems. The capacity of some of Exxon's multimillionaire leaders to become abusively angry over delays caused by bad weather, pilot changes, or mechanical problems never ceased to amaze their more modestly salaried crews. Lee Raymond could be sharp-tongued, but he was not the worst offender in that regard. He tried to maintain a cordial formality with his travel crews, and won respect, if not affection, from some of them. That was about the most that could be said of the reputation Raymond enjoyed among Exxon executives and employees more generally. He was respected. He was also feared. Some managers who had worked in other corporations, even notably hierarchical and disciplined ones, found striking the atmosphere of terror and deference Raymond generated in the minds of many who worked for him. Although it was possible to locate people who would say that Raymond was not insulting or mean to them personally, even these exceptional people acknowledged that he was often unpleasant to large numbers of others. Some of those who knew Raymond well, and liked him overall, felt he badgered colleagues in part to keep people away from him. If this was his strategy, it worked. He won the nickname Iron Ass among some employees. Behind his desk in the God Pod hung a painting of a fierce tiger. He calculated that in a corporation as large and diverse as Exxon, with tens of thousands of employees scattered in offices, refineries, and oil production compounds worldwide, the only way a chief executive could hope to extract disciplined results was to overdo it. That is, unless Raymond used his bully pulpit at Irving to pound hard and even intimidate his employees, the natural drift and compromising tendencies of such a large workforce would produce mediocre results.